ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरये। We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter number 9. Text today is 6. The name of this chapter is Markandeya Rishi Sees the Illusory Potency of the Lord. And I'll start with the word for word. Atta api.
Atta api.
Nonetheless. Ambuja patra.
Like the petals of a lotus.
Aksha.
Of you whose eyes.
Punya shloka.
Of famous personalities.
Shikamani.
O crest jewel.
Drakshye.
I desire to see.
Mayam.
The illusory energy.
Yaya.
By which.
Lokaha.
The entire world.
Sapala.
Along with its ruling demigods,
Veda
considers
Sat
of the absolute reality,
Pitam,
material differentiation,
Atapyambuja Patraksha,
Punyashloka Shikamane.
Drakshe mayam yaya loka.
Drakshe mayam yaya loka.
Sapalo veda sadbidam.
Sapalo veda sadbidam.
Translation, O lotus-eyed Lord, O crest jewel of renowned personalities, although I am satisfied simply by seeing you, I do wish to see your illusory potency, by whose influence the entire world, together with its ruling demigods, considers reality to be materially variegated. Please repeat. O lotus-eyed Lord.
O lotus-eyed Lord.
O crest jewel of renowned personalities.
O crest jewel of renowned personalities.
Although I am satisfied simply by seeing you.
Although I am satisfied simply by seeing you.
I do wish to see your illusory potency.
I do wish to see your illusory potency.
By whose influence
the entire world.
Together with its ruling demigods,
considers reality
to be materially variegated. Get a 10th canto, 14th chapter, please. Purport. A conditioned soul sees the material world to be constituted of independent, separate entities. Actually, all things are united, being potencies of the Supreme Lord. Markandeya Rishi is curious to witness the exact process by which Maya, the Lord's bewildering potency, casts living beings into illusion. Did you catch all that? Would you like me to read it again? A conditioned soul sees the material world to be constituted of independent, separate entities. Actually, all things are united, being potencies of the Supreme Lord. Markandeya Rishi is curious to witness the exact process by which Maya, the Lord's bewildering potency, casts living beings into illusion. Do you remember the translation? To some degree? Anything? Go ahead, say. Do we have an extra microphone? Okay. Speak into the mic because the devotees at home will curse you if they can't hear you. Okay.
Described Krishna, the lotus eye one, the one who's worshipped by all the renunciants.
Yeah, and who's speaking now?
Markandeya Rishi.
Markandeya Rishi is speaking, and he's a sage that's very dear to the Lord. That's why the Lord appears in his ashrama. And now that the Lord's appeared in his ashrama, he's offering his prayers and expressing his desires to the Lord. And he says, O lotus-eyed Lord, so he's looking right at the personality of Godhead, who has all these features, for instance, lotus eyes, and he has hands, lotus feet. He has a form, and Markandeya Rishi is beholding that form. So he says, O lotus-eyed Lord, O crest jewel of renowned personalities, although I am satisfied simply by seeing you, I do wish to see your illusory potency. So what is it that Markandeya Rishi wants to see? He's seeing Krishna right in front of him, but he's saying, I want to see your illusory potency. And he goes on to say, by whose influence the entire world, together with its ruling demigods, considers reality to be materially variegated. So where else does it come to your mind in the Bhagavatam that it mentions that the devas, or the demigods, the controlling entities of this world, are illusioned by the Lord's external potency? Yes, Tattvavit Prabhu, please get him the microphone in 7 seconds or less. Shouldn't make such a sage get up from his seat.
The first verse of the Bhagavatam says that the are bewildered by the illusory energy.
Yes. And the first verse of the Bhagavatam says, Kuakam Dimahi. So Kuakam means that the Sura, Kuakam, means all the demigods are bewildered by the Lord's external energy. Thank you, Tattvavit Prabhu. So everybody in the material world is illusioned by the Lord's potencies. First, I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all of you, because you are Vaishnavas, and therefore you're the most worshipable in all the three worlds. Hare Krishna. This illusory potency. So, Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we just mentioned that at the outset of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the invocation prayer says that even the demigods are bewildered by the illusory potency of the Lord. And we find in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually it starts off in the 13th chapter, Brahma's, here, just give me the book. You put it right here. This Brahma Mohana Leela, we find that Krishna, as you all know, had been picnicking with his friends. There are pictures here on that side. Krishna in the forest with his friends, and the calves that they were tending wandered off as the boys were having their lunch. And the boys became alarmed. They wanted to go after the calves. But Krishna said, being so friendly, I'll go get them. You stay and have your lunch. Please don't disturb your lunch. So he went off to find the calves. And meanwhile, Brahma had been observing Krishna and the calves and his boyfriends. And he was in wonderment about whether or not this was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this form. Brahma is also known as Vidhi. He's very attuned to the rules and regulations. That's how one becomes Brahma. After 100 lifetimes of perfectly following Varnashrama, then one attains the post of Brahma. And he saw Krishna eating with his left hand, the boys exchanging their lunches, putting it in their mouth, taking it out. And They were just playing like children, so Brahma wondered, who are they? Is this Krishna? Is this actually my Lord? So he played a trick just to test this manifestation that he was seeing before him by stealing away the boys and the calves. And when Krishna realized what Brahma had done, he re-manifested all the boys, not just, relatively good facsimiles, but exactly. The sticks that they were carrying, the clothes, every hair on their head was exactly the same. Only now, these calves and boys were manifestations of Krishna. They were actually expansions of his body. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita bhistabhiri eva nidarupataya kalabi. Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The Brahma Samhita, Sri Brahma, describes how in the spiritual world all the living entities are completely spiritual, they're expansions of his body. And when the boys and the calves that were expansions of Krishna went back to Gokula, then actually to Vrindavan. Then the mothers greeted their sons, fathers greeted their sons with more affection than they had had previously for their children, unlimitedly more. And we find out later that the calves became attractive to the cows and the bulls. Normally the calves are weaned off the cows at a certain time, they're separated, but as they were grazing on top of the hill, the mothers, the bulls the cows and the bulls saw their offspring down below in a valley, and they came galloping down the hill uncharacteristically with such enthusiasm to meet up with these calves. And Balaram had been watching all this and wondering what had happened, because there was something strange going on in Vrindavan. And he thought at first that it was the potency of some rakshasa that was creating these oddities. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura explains how one step after another, Krishna removed his illusory potency so that Balaram could see what was going on. And then he came to understand that actually Krishna had expanded himself into the calves and the boys. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura explains that even Balaram was subjected to the internal illusory potency of Lord Krishna, because Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and everyone else is under his control and subject to his potencies, even Balaram. What to speak of ordinary living entities in the material world? Krishna describes, Narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate nanto nachadir nachasampratishta ashvatamenam suvarudamulam asanga shastrena dridhena chitva, that everyone's in a banyan tree, this material world, and they don't know what the form of the tree is. They can't see it. They also don't know where it begins or where it ends. They don't know where they've come from or where they're going. And this is all due to the illusory potency of the Lord. So the illusory potency of the Lord is formidable for everybody. And the only way that one can overcome it, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daiva hiyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. If one surrenders to Krishna, then naturally Krishna will accept such a person and he'll remove his illusory potency. There are two aspects to the illusory potency that Prabhupada speaks about throughout his purports. One is called the throwing potency and the other is called the covering potency. So when one develops an adverse attitude to Krishna, the illusory potency separates him from Krishna's association. And then the covering potency makes the living entity think that he's happy, separated, and that he becomes absorbed in an illusory condition of life, thinking I'm the material body and I have my independent existence. And this is what's being mentioned here, that the living entities who are in illusion think that they're separated from the Lord. And this is mentioned in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam as the root cause of our predicament here in this world. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibheshatasyad ishada petasya viparyaryosmitihi. That means that when we see ourselves as separate from Krishna, and that we have a separate existence, separate interests, and so forth, then bhayam, which means fear, syat, arises. Fear arises. And this is due, ishat apetasya, because I've turned away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I have viparya yosmiti, my attitude is opposite of my real nature. My nature is to be subordinate to Krishna, but I've taken the position of as a competitor for Krishna. And therefore, I'm in a disadvantageous situation. Tanmaya tam buddha abhijat tam bhaktyaika yesha guru devatatma. Therefore, the solution is that one should turn one's attention back to Krishna. And by doing that, it will be properly aligned and come out of the illusory potency of the Lord. So, Markandeya Rishi is sitting in his ashram, and the Lord appears, and now he's interested in asking for this benediction to see his illusory potency. Once I was in Vrindavan, and someone told me, this is a desire tree over here. So I stood under that desire tree, and I said, Krishna, please show me things as they are. And the next day, I got so sick, I thought I was going to die. My godbrother took me to Lohi Bazaar, and I sat down in the little doctor's office, and he pulled a thermometer out of his drawer, put it in my mouth, and took it back out, and then he threw it back in the drawer, and I thought, he never washes that. That's when I started getting better. I thought those germs probably killed the other one. I know that's unscientific. But I was so sick, I won't go into the details, but for 3 days, I was at death's door. And then I met my godbrother, senior godbrother. He said, what happened to you? And I said, I was under that desire tree and I prayed, show me things as they are. And he goes, you don't pray for that. You never ask Krishna for that. He said, you pray for prema bhakti. So we'll find that the rishi prays to see illusory energy and it becomes onerous. He's swept away by the waves of devastation and he stays out there for millions and millions of years. Of course, while he's in the ocean of devastation, he has an opportunity to see Krishna directly. It's one of the charming pastimes. You can imagine being stranded in the ocean of devastation, or perhaps it's hard to imagine. And then he sees a baby floating on a banyan leaf. And as he gets closer, he becomes fascinated by this baby because he's beautiful and attractive, and he sees that the baby is sucking his own toe. It's Krishna. He's sucking his own toe because Krishna's lotus feet are so sweet, even he wants to taste what they're like. But as he's looking at the baby in enthrallment, then the Lord inhales him, and he comes out of the water of devastation, and he ends up back in his ashram. Peaceful, no water of devastation, everything back the way it was. And Krishna in that way fulfilled his desire to show him his illusory potency. And this is Krishna's prerogative. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekobahunam yovidatati kaman. He's fulfilling the desire of every living entity. And one may think that somebody's getting some disadvantageous situation in this material world because of the inequity of the Lord. But actually, the Bhagavatam explains that Krishna is equal to everyone, and he extends himself fully to every living entity. It's only due to our lack of what is called appreciating capacity, or the mistaken desires or misaligned desires that we, during which we ask the Lord for things that are not good for us, but he fulfills our desires nonetheless. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:29, Samaham sarvabhuteshu nami dvesho stina priya ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. In this verse, Krishna explains that I'm equal to everyone. Samaham sarvabhuteshu, it means to all living entities, I'm equal. He's offering full facility to every living entity. Nami dvesho stina priya, and he doesn't envy anybody. He's not averse to any living entity at all. He's friendly to everybody. And then he says that if one worships me and develops his or her appreciating capacity for me, then that person has a special relationship with me, enters into a very special relationship. And for that person, I extend myself in unlimited ways. One of the names of Krishna is Vanchatita. It means one who fulfills one's desires beyond what one can expect. Atita means beyond, and Vancha means desire. So Vanchatita means he fulfills your desires more than you can expect. So the first half of the verse is about Paramatma. This is Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Nami Dveshastina Priya. The Paramatma in the material world is equal to everybody and fulfills their desires according to how they approach him. Ye yata mam prapadyante. You know this verse, what does it mean? Besides Madhavi. Ye yata mam prapadyante. Accordingly, as one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. It means whatever you ask for, I'll equally extend myself to you, or however you surrender to me, that's how I'll reciprocate with you, correct? Yes, so this is Paramatma in the material world. He's fulfilling everyone's desire according to their desire. But ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, but when one becomes a devotee and approaches Krishna, Bhagavan, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, mai te teshu chapyaham, then Krishna extends himself beyond what we can expect, not tit for tat, not according to our desire, but beyond that. This is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastime of Putana, who is a demoness, and she assumes a form of a beautiful young woman, and she comes into the Vraj just after Krishna is born. And everybody lets her in because she looks so nice. And then she comes to poison Krishna. And she actually tries to do it. She had put poison on her breast nipple. She tried to nurse him. She did nurse him. He sucked out the poison, then the milk, then her life air. She assumed her original form. So you'll find in the third canto when Sri Uddhava is remembering the pastimes of Krishna, he says, Aho bhakiyam stana kala kutam jighamsaya payad apyasadvi. He said that how wonderful this is, how wonderful Krishna is, that even though this demoness came to kill him, he accepted her as mother and gave her a very, very special position in the spiritual world. And later on in this 14th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma, when he's praying to Krishna after the Brahma Vimohana Lila, he says, Krishna, we know how much mercy you gave to Putana. Do you have any left? I mean, you must have given all your mercy. Do you have anything left for the residents of Vrindavan? Because you gave so much mercy to Putana. And that's a point that he's making is that Krishna, Bhagavan, is so merciful, it's unlimited. And therefore, Uddhava says, who would surrender to anyone else besides Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing this, how merciful he is? So here's a practical point, and then we'll take reflections and questions. And that is that it is the purpose of human life, ultimately, to develop one's appreciating capacity for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gives us free will, and when we accept a human life, we have the opportunity to amend the errant desires that we have within our heart, and to develop an appreciating capacity for the Lord. And as we do, we'll realize that His mercy is fully available to us at every moment. So one cannot claim to be victimized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, people do, but this is incorrect. Actually, He's fully manifest at all times, and He's fully available to us at all times. But it's my duty and interest to adjust my life in such a way that I can appreciate his presence and His mercy, and to see that He's always available. And therefore, we have this practice of bhakti yoga. All of the practices that we do here in ISKCON are actually given to us through the Srimad Bhagavatam and by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and they're meant to stimulate that original appreciation we have for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as that appreciating capacity awakens and expands, then we can realize Krishna to that degree and accept His mercy. And now we'll take some reflections or questions about the verse or anything I've said in the monologue. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. So I really like the point that how, even though Markandeya Rishi was seeing Krishna, Narayana Rishi face to face, still he had that desire for seeing the illusory potency. I like the point which you made that even when we have those desires, Krishna goes over and beyond to satisfy that. So that was really nice.
So we'll find this throughout the Bhagavatam, that even though Krishna may appear directly before someone, it doesn't mean that they'll have an absolutely pure intention or ask Him for the right thing. Of course, we know the story of Kardama Muni. We find in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he meditated for 10,000 years, perfected his yoga practice, so much so that the Lord appeared before him also, and was so appreciative of his sacrifices that a tear came from the eye of the Lord that became the Prema Sarovara, a kund there that emanated from the tear of the Lord. And when Kardama was offering his prayers to Lord Narayan, who was personally present there, he glorified him and then he said, "And by the way, I need a wife. I have this desire for a wife." Of course, Lord Narayan said, I know that. Why wouldn't I know that? And then he said, I've made an arrangement. Interesting about the case of Kardama Muni is he put it before the Lord. He said that you know my desire, and I have that desire, but you please fulfill it in the way that you think is correct. Preetamar says a similar thing. He said, "I'm praying to you, but I don't know what to ask for. I could really blow it if I ask for the wrong thing. So I put it to you. Just as a son doesn't know what to do and depends on the father, so I'm the same way. I'm saying, you do whatever you like." And Prabhupada mentions in the purport to Kardama Muni's inquiry about a wife that if whatever desires you have in this world, you put them before the Lord and you say, "You manage it. Don't try to micromanage it yourself, because the Lord can do a much better job. He knows your existential situation. He knows what's ultimately good for you." So Bhagavatam says, "Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param." Whatever condition of life you're in, meaning whatever desires you have because of conditioning, approach the Lord and leave it to Him. So please help me in this way. But let Him manage the situation because He knows what to do. And of course, Kardama Muni had received the best of wives, Devahuti, from Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu and his wife, who then came 3 days later, and that was the Lord's arrangement. Yes?
So just following up on one point. So you also made this point earlier where sometimes Krishna fulfills the desire, but does it in such a way that he brings the devotee back.
Correct. That's in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyam Drishti Artito Artito Rinram. That if the devotee, Krishna says, comes to me and he surrenders, then he's asking for material benedictions again and again. Then Swayam Virate Bhajatam Anichitam, he says, I give him his material benediction, I'll fulfill his desire, but I do it in such a way that he won't ask for it anymore. And that's paraphrased in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna is speaking and he says, this person is asking me for material facilities, even though he's in devotional service. So Krishna said, this is like a person who's being offered nectar, but he wants poison instead. So then Krishna says, this person may be a fool, but I'm not. Therefore, why should I fulfill his desire the way he wants? So Krishna fulfills the desire the way he sees will actually benefit the person who's asking for material desire. And he says, Swayam vidate bhajatam anichitam, that I cover that material desire and make him want me instead. So that's Krishna's arrangement. But if one can be skillful in offering prayers to the Lord and ask Krishna for pure devotional service, you can avoid all these things. Yes, Tatvavit Prabhu.
Could you please refer to the verse that you wanted to quote from the 10th Canto of the book? Maybe you did, but I just wanted to...
I know, it's sitting here and I see the book, but then I thought there'll be a gap in between the time I find the verse. Of course, if I keep talking, it won't seem like a gap. But here, Brahma offers his prayers, and Shukadeva Goswami sums up how he offered his prayers and describes how Krishna is Atmanam Akilatmanam. He's the soul of all souls. And he describes how everyone is working very hard for the illusory energy. And this occurs at 10:14:53. If a person comes to the stage, this will pass that, says, therefore it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied being. It is for the satisfaction of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving beings exists. This in this section, Shukadeva Goswami was pointing out Atmanam Akilatmanam, the living entities, they're self-interested. They ask for material things because they think, actually, this is myself. My body is myself. But he says, observe how self-interested you are, that you'll do anything to maintain your body in a healthy condition because you think you're your body. He said, now understand that understanding how attracted you are to yourself, think how attracted you'll be to the self of yourself. Atmanam Akilatmanam. Krishna is actually the soul of your soul. So if you turn your attention to Krishna and your desire becomes one with Krishna's desire, in other words, you want to satisfy Krishna, think how attracted you'll be and how satisfied you'll be. This is the logical point he's making in this section. So one can actually understand this is a very logical philosophy, that one's misplaced desires in this material body are because I've projected myself into the body and I think this is myself. In fact, we do it everywhere we go. Everywhere I look in my environment, I make a distinction between things and my things. Isn't there a big difference? If you parked your car outside here and you hear a smashing noise and you think it's your car, your heart will palpitate and perspiration will come to your brow and you'll run to the door, and if you look outside and you find out it wasn't your car, it was Naimisharanya's car, then immediately you're relieved. But a car is a car. It's made of glass and metal and so forth, but I've invested myself into that particular car. There are cars all over Dallas right now that are being smashed, sideswiped, scraped, doors opening and banging into the side, and we don't care because they're not ours. We haven't invested our consciousness into them. So in the Gita, Krishna says, Jayato Vishayam Pum Sam Sangasteshu Bajayate. When you look out at the world, including this material body, and you contemplate it, contemplation means that you look at it and you think there's something in this for me, or this is mine, then he says it becomes an anga, becomes a part of you. Now it's a problem for you. So as long as I'm investing myself into the world and into this body, it becomes a problem for me. But if you turn your attention to Krishna and say, Atmanam, Akhilatmanam, he is the soul of my soul, then it's properly placed. And you can express your desire unlimitedly because Krishna is Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. He can accept it. He can accept unlimited giving. And he can give unlimitedly also. It's the only place where we can give and take unlimitedly and be satisfied. But we can't do it when we misplace ourselves as the body. Another point? Prabhu, yes. Thanks, Tapavit Prabhu. Good to see you.
Well, my question, you mentioned...
Oh, no, you got to use that. Because there's people online that will become extremely angry. There could be a revolt. Yes.
Krishna asks us to surrender to him, Nyayatamangabhajante, and as we surrender, he rewards even more than we desire. So then, isn't it a bit...
No, that's not what I said. I said that Nyayatamangabhajante means he rewards us proportionately.
Yes.
But then, the second half of the other verse, Mayite Teshu Chapyaham, refers to Bhagavan. And in those dealings, it's more than we can expect.
Sure. Sorry for combining.
It's all right.
The point. Therefore, we should simply surrender to Krishna rather than worry about what we're going to get by surrendering to Krishna. And an example I would think was in the second hand of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada references Narada Muni's act of bhakti, as he became very lucky because even though he got darshan of Krishna, he couldn't redo that. He couldn't force Krishna to appear again. And therefore Krishna came as a voice and said, you just render your bhakti through this lifetime and then you'll eternally be my servant. And Prabhupada references that in the second canto as he was one of the lucky Vaishnavas, that he became a unique bhakta and all the bhaktas of Krishna. But he references being lucky in the sense that he couldn't just get Krishna by doing the empirical process of yoga, which he tried. He had to surrender to exactly what Krishna wanted, and Krishna was always with him in that sense. So is it, should we approach Krishna for what we want? In other words, if we want something separate from Krishna, I mean, Krishna can give it to us, sure.
Well, you really don't have a lot of choice. I mean, we have our nature, and one has to deal with that nature in approaching Krishna. That's why Krishna gives various ways in which we can approach him. Actually, I'll amend that. We do have a choice. But it's natural that people approach Krishna according to the position they're in now. In the Gita, yat karoshi yat ashnashi yat johosi dadasi yat tapasyasi kanteya tat kurushva mararpana means whatever you have doing now, you offer that to me as a starting place. And he mentions in the 12th chapter of the Gita, there are various gradations of the ways in which devotees can approach him. He says, just fully enter into my service, think of me all the time. If you can't do that, follow the rules and regulations of bhakti so that you'll develop that. If you can't do that, then work, and at the same time, give away the fruit of your work to help support Krishna consciousness. If you can't do that, then just be charitable. If you can't do that, there's meditation, there's working without fruitive results, and so forth. So he's mentioning there's various ways that one can approach. And Krishna himself talks about the interim period for devotees in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam when he says, Jata Shraddha Makkatasu Nirvina Sarvakarmasu Veda Dukha Makankamams Prityagi Pyanishvara Tatoba Jetamam Brita Shraddhalu Drudha Nishchaya Jushamanams Tatankamams Dukho Darkams Tagarayan. This describes how a devotee, although he's fully aware that the material world is not his place, and that he's actually disgusted with sense activities, sense gratification. Parityagi pyanishvara, he doesn't have the power to give it up yet. So he's going on with repeatedly trying to fulfill the material desires, even as he's practicing devotional service. So what's Krishna's response to that? He says, Tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalo drudha nishcha. He says, faithfully go on with the process of devotional service despite the fact that you're not able to do it yet. And know that you're very dear to me because you're practicing devotional service. And he said, Dukho darkhams jagarayan. You can be a little bit repentant, but don't become morose and give up the process. Continue. So there's a lot of acceptance of the idea that one begins the process from whatever position one's in and makes advancement by Krishna's mercy. For some people, it's unreasonable to expect that they'll be able to suddenly surrender everything. It's a very rare case of somebody who's able to do that. Although Prabhupada does mention that it's the prerogative of the living entity at any time one can decide that I'll surrender to Krishna unconditionally. But we see the facility is there so someone can gradually do that. Did that address your question? Okay.
It's a big question. We all have to approach Krishna.
It's a big question. We all have to approach Krishna, he's saying, without the microphone. And we can contemplate that. So we heard about Markandeya Rishi, and that's very auspicious because he's so dear to Krishna. And now we can imagine that people are sitting in their homes right now and they have their own meditation and prayer going on. They're asking, when are the Hare Krishna devotees going to come and knock on my door? And they're thinking, actually, today I'm going to go out shopping, but my life is a life of quiet desperation. I hope and pray that somehow or other I can meet a Hare Krishna on the street who will offer me transcendental literature and some solace in life. This is what they're praying right now, all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The prayer is going on. We can hear it, right? So we have to, as Krishna's agents today, go out and fulfill the desires of the living entities on behalf of Krishna, to deliver to them transcendental literature, solace in the way of friendship and Krishna consciousness, and hopefully Krishna prasadam. Do we have to distribute? We have everything, right? This is a full service operation, nothing missing. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Hari Bo. Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Panchakalpavrusha Kripa Sanave Vachapatitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namdakoti Vaishnavidhi Jaya.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey! Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.